Welcome to the Language is Music podcast. On this podcast, you will hear interviews and presentations done by Susanna Zreisky, the author of Language is Music. You can find out more information about Language is Music and about how you can learn foreign languages using music and the media at Susanna's website, languageismusic.com, www.languageismusic.com. We hope you enjoy this podcast. My name is Susanna Zreisky, and I'm the author of the book Language is Music. And I got to meet Aaron Myers when I was in Istanbul in November of 2011, and we talked about his website, everydaylanguagelearning.com, and about what he's learned about language learning and what he wants to impart to other people. And so today Aaron is going to share his main tips for people who are learning languages, especially for people who don't live in areas where they have easy access to people who speak the language that they want to learn. So Aaron, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, it's good to be with you. Again, it's Aaron Myers, and I'm the author at the Everyday Language Learner blog. We've got a couple of language learning guides and a free program for a course for people to get started learning language on their own. And yeah, my passion is really to help people learn languages in an independent way, self-directed language learning, and really writing tips and ideas, encouragement, anything to help people on that journey. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I am curious. So I know that you lived in a small town in a state, was it North Dakota?
South Dakota.
South Dakota, okay. And you really, because the name of your website is Everyday Language Learning, I'm really curious what your tips are for people who would consider themselves everyday types of people. And maybe they live also in a small town in South Dakota or a small town in small town somewhere in Japan. They don't have access to people from other countries, like living down the street from them. They don't get to hear, they can't turn on the radio and find, you know, programs in different languages. What are the tips that you have for people who consider themselves like that?
Yeah, that's really the focus of that's really the focus I want to have in my writing at the blog. And I always tell people, you know, I've never met anybody who didn't think learning another language was a good idea. Unfortunately, most people, it's really kind of an overwhelming idea outside of this idea of taking a class in high school or college. And then the other factor in there is that when I was starting in this, I realized a lot of the language learners I'm working with, especially expats overseas and people back home, they want to learn the language, not necessarily because they are like in love with learning languages, but there's a certain end that they want to reach. They have a goal. They want to be able to talk to someone. They want to be able to do a job. They want to be able to help out, the Hispanic community in their community. And they would love to be able to speak Spanish, for example, in South Dakota, mm-hmm. Because there's this growing Spanish community in the state. But they don't know where to begin. They don't know what that process looked like. They don't have the time necessarily to find a course to go to. I was thinking to, if someone asked me to go into their garage and overhaul the engine of my car, I wouldn't have any idea how to do that. At the same time, learning languages, overhauling engines, it's not rocket science. You know, I mean, guys who are overhauling language or engines, you know, I had friends in high school who would, you know, learn to do that at a pretty young age. And so I know that it's something everybody's capable of doing. And I think language learning is the same. It's not like brain surgery. You don't have to, you know, my brain surgeon, I want to go to know that he went to, you know, a lot of school, mm-hmm. And got a lot of training. But for language learners, there's not this idea that I can go out and do this on my own. And it's mainly a lack of information, a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. Mm-hmm. It mostly because of the system that we're in. The education system has kind of said, this is how you learn languages. It's the only thing people have known is that you take a class. And so I really want to help people to be empowered to learn the language that they want to learn on their own time, without spending tons of money. And that, and that's, so that's what I write about. Now, with, yeah, South Dakota, for example, I was living in a town of 1,000 in South Dakota. And, yeah, a lot of people there would have liked to learn Spanish because there was a growing population of workers and families moving into the area. And so I guess some of the things that I would encourage people to consider and to think about, one would be to just explore, because there are so many resources out there to get people started, for free. You know, a live MOCA type of program, is it the greatest program ever for language learning? No, but it certainly can get a person started, give them a lot of input, get them starting to learn a lot of the language. And, you know, it's 40 or 50 languages are available now. And there's so many other programs like that that are out there. And so the first thing I would really want to do is just encourage people to explore what the options are. And then, yeah, to find something like a live MOCA to get started with, podcasts, television. There's the resources are available.
And you have a list of these on your website, right?
Yeah. Yep. If you, at the website, I have the language specific site, page that has, yeah, resources for just about 20 some languages now. I'm trying to add 2 or 3 languages a month to that. The other thing I would encourage people to do is to find some sort of, so like those programs like Live MOCA or Link or Rosetta Stone, if you wanted to buy Rosetta Stone, they are really focused on the language. The other thing I would encourage you to do is to think about signing up for something like, I've got a program called the 10-Week Journey. Corey at Multilingual Living just started something called Challenge 180, mm-hmm. where it's this kind of 180 days. You get emails every week that, and both of these programs, my program and her program, are really about walking you not only into the language, but into how can I learn the language on my own. And so that's the focus of the 10-week journey.
Well, you will give your website again?
Yep, theeverydaylanguagelearner.com. And so I have a program called the 10-week journey that, basically through 10 weeks, you get an email every week and it's doing 2 things. One, it's introducing you to resources to learn any language. And 2, it's introducing you to ideas about how you can learn the language as an independent, self-directed language learner. And because I think the resources are available. The thing that isn't there is the training of how to go about and learn the language on their own. Mm-hmm. And so there's that gap needs to be closed. And that's really what I'm trying to do with my site, is really close that gap so that regular people, everyday language learners, can have a handle on how I can go out and learn the language on my own. So
what are your top tips for people to incorporate language learning into their everyday life?
Yep. Top tips. One is you just need to get the language around you. And I always like to think of it, any source of passive ways you can. So if you have a commute to work every day and you have a Spanish music CD, and you have it in your CD player so that when you start the car every day, it starts playing. You've just given yourself an opportunity to hear Spanish. And it's really convenient and easy. And you didn't do anything. You just turned your car on. Mm-hmm. And I think the more you can create systems like that that just happen, and part of that's about the environment, the language learning environment that you create. And so I encourage people to start, you know, filling their home with as much, you know, I'm just going to use Spanish as an example, because in the upper Midwest, it's the language I would encourage people to learn, because there's the biggest need there. But, you know, having Spanish language magazines, newspapers, books on your, end table in your living room, now it's right there. If you want to pick it up, you can pick it up. You can start reading. You want to create an environment that makes language learning as convenient and easy for you as possible. It doesn't mean that language learning is convenient and easy, but I just find that if we kind of compartmentalize our language learning into an hour that we do or 30 minutes we do every day, and then the rest of our day there's zero in the language and nothing around us to encourage it, it's hard to put in the time. But if we can kind of get movies that are in Spanish and have them there in the movie racks that you can grab and put on, language, music, podcasts, radio programs, television, all of those things, if they're around us and they're available, and the more we can listen and hear the language, the quicker we're going to move forward. Because in today's world, you can create an immersion type of environment anywhere you're at. And that used to be kind of the excuse people would say, well, you just need to go to the country so you can be immersed. Mm-hmm. Well, you can create that kind of immersion type of environment fairly easily today if you want to. Mm-hmm. But that's something you have to kind of choose and work to do. So I think that's one thing, is to think about your environment, think about surrounding yourself by the language. Another thing is just, I want to encourage people right away to begin looking for native speaking friends that you can begin to get to know and begin to speak with, begin to develop a relationship with. And I want to be careful, because sometimes I think I see people talk about, finding people who speak the language almost as like another resource or a tool. Mm-hmm. And I want to step back from that. They will be a resource, but the bigger thing for me is the relationship. And, your coworkers really don't care if you're going to learn the language or not. A native speaker cares intimately, and it means a lot to them that you're learning their language. And so they're going to be a big fan, a big piece of kind of pushing you along, of encouraging you. And you're learning the language so you can speak to people. And so you can have a relationship with people. So the sooner you can start developing relationships, the better off you're going to be. Now, they are also a language resource, and we do also need to consider that they are. But that's not a selfish thing, because I always tell people, it's like, if I'm learning from them and I'm using them, that's not the word I want to use, but to help me learn the language, I'm going to be able to build a relationship with them faster and a much deeper relationship. And so there's a fine line between using somebody that you're just interested in getting language from them and really developing a relationship. And I just really want people to focus on that relationship part of it. If you're not, if you decided you want to learn French and you're in rural South Dakota, we live 40 minutes from Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls is a town of 120,000, and I'm absolutely certain there are French speakers there. But with the internet, if you want, you could have a conversation with someone in French,
every day
of the week.
Yeah.
I was on Live Mocha a couple nights ago, and I'd never used the chat function, but I clicked on the chat function, and there was like 18 Turks online waiting to chat with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to have a good, and I chatted with Masut for probably half an hour, just writing back and forth in Turkish, some in English, some in Turkish. And I saw real quickly how that could become a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
How I could, we're Facebook friends now. We could begin emailing. We could begin Skyping. It was in one 30-minute session. I felt like, wow, I could very easily talk to this guy once a week if I wanted to on Skype or whatever. So it's out there and it's available. I think one of the things that people struggle with is if they're at that kind of beginning level, that's an intimidating prospect of like, I don't want to Skype anybody. I'm just going to wander through. But I think it's important that you find those people. And even, you know, at the beginning, if they speak English and you can get to know them, you're still going to be learning about their culture and about their life and about their life experience. And slowly you can move into more and more Spanish. So that would be a second thing, is be just really look for friendships with people that speak the language.
I'd like to make a comment, actually, about what you said. You were talking before about how some people think that the only way they're going to learn a language is if they go to the country, and that you can actually create that immersive experience in your own home with the internet. Something to think about and is that there are many people who come to the United States or other countries as immigrants, and they're surrounded by English, or they could be surrounded by English. Of course, if they're living in Chinatown or in a certain ethnic enclave, they may not hear very much English. And they may live 20 years in the United States or England or wherever and not speak good English at all. And that, therefore, that it's not that only by going to a certain country will you learn a language. No, it's that you create that immersive experience. So you could surround yourself with Spanish in the middle of nowhere in Japan and learn better Spanish than somebody who moves to Madrid and hangs out only with expats and doesn't use Spanish at all.
Yeah, and you see expats all the time who have really, I always tell people, everybody will learn the language to the level of their need. Mm-hmm. And so if you need to find the bathroom and you need to get food and you need to be able to order at a restaurant, you'll learn at least to that level. You'll probably go a little bit further than that. But you see a lot of expats who have a hard time getting past that. And it's because you really have to want to. Mm-hmm. You can function. And I think more and more, it's like people are on Facebook and they're super connected to all of their old friends in our world today. And it's even harder to move overseas and not kind of get out of the English bubble. But anyways.
Good point. And I like what you said, though, about creating friendships with people in another country or from another culture, even before you can speak the language, because that definitely gives you the hook into the interest to the culture. Right. Are there any other points that you want to make about your everyday language learning tips?
You know, I think the other thing is just, I just really think the more fronts that you can approach the language from, the more connections you're going to make with it, and the more quickly you're going to make those connections. And so if you can be right from the beginning, reading, writing, listening, speaking, speaking could wait. You know, if I'm in South Dakota learning Turkish, I might not have a lot of opportunity to speak, and I don't need to speak. And so I could say, you know, I'm going to put off speaking until I get to Turkey but that's not as important at the beginning, I don't think. But for sure, you want to just be doing all those things, because one is you're going to come across words, concepts, just with a little different angle each time. And the more resources you use, the more ways that you get into the language, the more nuanced connections your mind is able to make with words, concepts, and it's just going to really drive those things deeper. Another thing would be, as much as you can, try to create learning systems that are coming out of your real life, so that if the textbook says write 10 sentences and they give you some 10 sentences, you know, skip those sentences and write 10 sentences about your day, about mm-hmm. your life, about your family, the things you love and want to write about. Those are going to make stronger emotional connections and contextual connections to the language that are going to help you remember it better.
I think that's really cool what you just said. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, there was a girl from my French class, and she said when she was in other classes and she wanted to write notes to her friends when she was supposed to be listening to the math teacher, for example, and she was bored, she would write the notes in French, because at least that way she was practicing her French. And I thought, well, you know what? If that's what you're going to do, because you're going to be distracted anyway, just do it in a different language. And one time I was working with a coworker. She was Taiwanese. And when we were in boring work meetings, she would write her shopping list in Chinese. Now, of course, this was her own language, but she was writing it in Chinese because she didn't want the other people to be able to read what she was writing. And I thought she was taking notes during the meeting, but it turns out she was writing her grocery list. So, you know, in that case, you know, if you happen to be learning the language and you are bored in the meeting, start making your shopping list in that other language, provided, of course, that you know that the person next to you doesn't speak that language.
Yeah, and I mean, a shopping list is a great thing people can do. I mean, you write your shopping list in Spanish, you go to the store, now you have to, you forced yourself into a situation where you have to use it.
Yeah.
And I think, and you have to recall it. And if you can create those kinds of things as much as possible, you're going to really help yourself move forward. So, yeah.
Very good. All right. Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, it's just, yeah, I appreciate being able to talk with you and all that you're doing at with your book and with your blog as well. And yeah, especially promoting women and I just think that's really great, and I hope you'll continue to.
Thank you for listening to the Language is Music podcast. You can find out more information about learning languages through music at languageismusic.com.